Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show.
Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy hoy everyone. We're close to spring break.
Yeah, that's about the only way I can describe this week. It's a post Super Bowl week.
Yeah. 6 weeks down in the semester, mm-hmm. So that's nice.
So that leaves us 12 weeks to go?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, when you look at it like that, it's mm-hmm. not as bad. And that includes a spring break, mm-hmm. some Easter time. Be all right.
We can think of it as three more paydays.
Yeah, there you go.
Three more paydays.
Until
freedom.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So we are here to discuss the next episode in the Simpsons saga. And it's the 22nd episode of the 8th season, titled In Marge We Trust. And it originally aired April 27th of 97.
And I do remember this airing on that day vividly.
What else do you remember about that day?
It was my sister's second birthday party. She was 2 on this day.
Oh my God.
So I do remember the whole family gathering and then the TV on, and of course, promoing it all day, and there you go.
You 90s kids make me sick. Sick!
Hey, man. But, I mean, just like every other episode in the season so far, banger.
Yes, it is. And, unfortunately, no chalkboard gag, but there is a couch gag.
Yes, there is a couch gag. The family was in the living room, and we don't see a couch. However, we see a sign for a vend a couch, and it's got a little coin slot in it, right? Back when things had coin slots.
Yeah, those things are disappearing.
Even at the arcades, you see the little cards. Mm-hmm. Wow. Anyway, so he puts a quarter into it, pushes the button, nothing happens. So of course, like you did back in those days, you start pounding on the machine, right? And the couch falls out of the ceiling.
Onto
Homer, and you hear the dog as it, and you hear like a squish.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Like
it looked like a pretty heavy couch.
A squish and a crunch. Mm-hmm. That's what you heard in there.
I mean, Homer's a big dude. He should be able to absorb some of that, but it still looked like a heavy couch.
Yeah. So now we know the weight of the couch.
Yeah. Heavier than Homer.
Yes, indeed.
So we're going to start this particular episode out in the living room, mm-hmm. watching TV.
Yes.
And apparently Itchy and Scratchy is on, but they want to watch this quietly because they don't want to wake up Mom and Dad.
Yes. So Bart and Lisa are there in their pajamas, right? Mm-hmm. And the episode starts, and it's called Deaf Comedy Blam, which is, of course, if you don't know, a play on Deaf Comedy Jam, which was very popular around that time.
Mm-hmm. And but Deaf Comedy Jam is spelled D-E-F.
D-E-F, yeah.
This is D-E-A-F.
A-F, yes, uh-huh. Like deaf.
Uh-huh. We see Itchy dressed as a doctor. He walks into this is very oddly specific, mm-hmm. the hospital's ear trauma ward. Apparently,
that's very specific.
Yeah, apparently, in this particular city, that's very common.
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
So Scratchy is a patient there. He's strapped down to the bed. Itchy slaps his stethoscope onto the cat. Mm-hmm. And then he runs out of the room, downstairs, into a cab, onto a plane. Mm-hmm. And the plane lands in the Bikini Atoll, I think.
Yeah. Because apparently there is a nuclear test going on, right? Yep. And they do have a French flag out there and everything. Uh-huh. So yes.
And they're counting down in French.
Yes.
Sink.
Yes.
Gat.
There you go.
Boom. Ooh.
I don't know those, so good job. I'm glad you do.
I think I messed one of those up.
So they're having their nuclear weapons test, and Itchy points the end of the stethoscope, which has gone, what, thousands of miles by this point, right, towards the blast site. And, of course, boom, it explodes. And we actually see the pulse of the sound go through like a mouse, right, through the entire cord. It's going under the sea, past Hollywood, right? I think there's a dig at Hollywood here.
Yeah.
There's a weasel on a cell phone.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, that's Hollywood for you. Mm-hmm. Over a hill, right, until it gets too scratchy in the hospital. The sound goes right into his head, and his head just swells up, and boom, it just pops like a balloon, right?
Yep. So we're left with a headless body. Mm-hmm. And Bart and Lisa, at first, are trying to control themselves. They're only...
Yeah, they even like turn down the boom, right? The volume, because they're like, oh, we're going to wake mom and dad.
And apparently, well, they start cracking up.
Yep.
Apparently, they didn't want to wake mom and dad up because they didn't want to go to church.
Exactly. So we see the alarm clock and it says 8:45, right? Mm-hmm. Marge wakes up, she sets up. You know, oh my goodness, kids, Homer, we're late for church. And she throws the covers off her and then she says, I'm glad I dressed last night. She's already in her church clothes.
Yes.
Oh, Marge.
What a square.
Yep.
So Homer says, oh, I'd love to go with you, honey, but I've got a lot of work to do around the bed.
And so Marge says, Homer, the Lord only asks for an hour a week. And I think we get one of the greatest Homer Simpson lines ever here.
Yeah, because he says, well, in that case, he should have made the week 1 hour longer, lousy God.
That's such a good line. Uh-huh. Lousy God.
And of course, all we hear in Marge say is,
terrible, right? And so the family does make it to church, right? And they discover that Reverend Lovejoy's speech on the 9 tenets of constancy isn't exciting at all.
No.
Right? They are bored.
I mean, Homer is fighting for dear life, trying to stay awake. Mm-hmm. But he loses the battle. His head flops forward, and it hits the pew in front of him.
Yeah.
And he is woken up by and yells, damn it, in the middle of church.
And so Reverend Lovejoy stops, right? And he says, well, I seem to have lost my place, so I'll just start over. And nobody is happy.
Yep, and nobody is awake when he finishes.
Exactly. It's not just Homer. It's not just the kids. It is everyone. Basically everybody but Marge. But even Marge is at the end.
She's struggling.
Yes, she's very much struggling.
Reverend Lovejoy sees this and he's like, ugh. So he decides to... hit a button on one of those little sound keyboards.
Yeah, he's got a little soundboard.
Yeah, I guess we hear an eagle shrieking overhead.
He's got options, right? Yeah. One's like a train whistle. Yeah. And then, yeah, so we hear the screeching eagle. Ah, all right. And everybody wakes up.
Yep, yep.
And yeah, that's how he gets everybody's attention again. Uh-huh. And so they get home, right? And as soon as they all walk in the door, with the exception of Marge, they're all just tearing off their church clothes.
I can relate with that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And Marge says, hey, calm down. You're wrinkling your church clothes.
And Homer's like, who cares? This is the best part of the week.
And Lisa jumps in. And this is my favorite line from this.
Yes, this is a great line.
She says, it's the longest possible time before more church.
And that's coming from Lisa, everybody.
Now, guys, I'm not saying I don't enjoy going to church. I'm just saying I really liked this line.
Oh, it's a great line.
Yes, yes.
It's a fantastic line. It's a very, come on, that's what a kid thinks at that time.
Yeah.
It's true. And so Marge, of course, has to jump in. And she says that church shouldn't be a chore. It should help you in your daily life.
And Homer says, it should, but it doesn't. Now, who's going with Daddy to the dump?
And Bart and Lisa are excited, right? Like, me, me, me.
And Marge is like, the dump?
And Homer tells her that we got to get rid of the Christmas tree. It's starting to turn brown. And you show the tree, and it is indeed brown. It is dead, right? All the needles fall off of it.
Yeah, they're barely hanging on. Some needles are barely hanging on, but most are on the ground.
And Homer invites her, like, you want to come with? He's very excited about this, by the way.
And Marge says, no, no, I don't feel like going to a trash pile today.
He says, all right, it's your life. We'll bring you back something nice as him and Bart carry out the tree, right?
How are you going to find something nice at the dump? Something that used to be nice, possibly, yep. But yeah, no. So instead of going down to the dump, Marge decides to go visit Reverend Lovejoy, who's putting up the sign for next week's sermon. Mm-hmm. Reverend Lovejoy's like, can you believe it? They give you 5 Q's and only 2 U's. What a world.
And Marge's kind of like, that's crazy.
So Lovejoy cuts in. So what's on your mind, Marge? We're already inside his office now.
Yeah. And so Marge tells him that, you know, all of his sermons about constancy, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the other word?
Provisitude.
Provisitude. There you mm-hmm. go, right? It's all well and good, but that she thinks the church could be doing more to reach out to the people.
And Lovejoy says, oh, I don't see you volunteering to make things better.
And she says, well, okay, I will volunteer.
By the way, what kind of a counselor is that?
Yeah. Reverend Lovejoy is not the greatest dude on occasion.
Yeah, no. He's very, very jaded here, right? Mm-hmm. And all he says when Marge says that she will volunteer, he's like, well, I wasn't prepared for that.
And so we cut back to Homer and the kids at the dump, right? They're trying to get the tree out of the car through the window for some reason. They just opened the door.
Yeah.
I don't know why. All the needles fall off, right?
By the way, you notice they're pulling it the wrong way
out. Yes, they're pulling it at the fat end first. Like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's so dumb. Mm-hmm. And so all the needles come off all over the car, right? And now that they've done their chores, Homer says, okay, who's up for some scrounging? And he starts looking through, you know, the trash pile. He's like, look, a perfectly good basketball, which it's only like half a basketball because it's all deflated.
And Lisa says, I found a Malibu Stacy with no head. And just at that point, a rat pops out of the torso and she screams, ah! And she drops it.
And Homer's laughing, right? He's laughing at her. And just as he's, you know, messing with his basketball, a big raccoon jumps out and attacks Homer. He's like, oh, oh my God, help me, Lisa! It really goes at him.
Yes.
Guys, I know they look cute. Stay away from raccoons.
Yes. I mean, the only way they're going to make good pets is if you find one as a baby. Mm-hmm. If you find one as a baby, you still need to take it to the vet, guys. Get it, get the shots. You might be rabid already. Clean that thing up. And, you know, you can train it. It'll be a good pet. But, no, guys. If you find an adult that's going to rip your face off and give you rabies.
Yeah,
and
you don't want that.
No. Trash pandas look cute. Stay away from them.
Yeah, if you're seeing one by your dumpster, don't get close to it, man.
No.
That thing is bad news. Mm-hmm. And so Bart interrupts the fight here, right?
Now, I will say this. This right here is going to be one of my favorite side quests in any Simpson episode.
I think it's like the ultimate side quest. Yeah. It's up there. Yeah, it's... This is... Man, this is one of the reasons I love this episode, of course. And so Bart's kind of like, look what I found. Like, you're not going to believe it. And he shows Lisa and Homer a box that's half buried, right, in all the trash. Mm-hmm. And it looks cartoony as far as the Simpsons are concerned. And it looks like Homer. And it's got strange foreign writing on it.
I mean, the thing looks exactly like Homer,
it
right?
It does, it does.
And Lisa's like, what the heck is that?
Bart's like, maybe it's a box from the future.
And Lisa says, it looks Japanese.
And Homer's freaking out, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, what's going on? Why am I in a Japanese box? And he does that whine that he does on occasion.
Yep. So we go back to Marge, and she's finishing up helping Lovejoy around the church. And she says, all done. I swept the aisles and put the collection plates in the dishwasher. Ooh, and you wouldn't believe how many dead pigeons were in the organ.
That's disgusting, man.
Very
disgusting. Wouldn't that smell if there was a bunch of dead pigeons in there? Good Lord. And so Reverend Lovejoy says, like, wow, you know, Marge, you're a real time saver. He says, do you know, thanks to you, that I discovered a form of shame that's gone unused for 700 years?
And Marge just says, wow. And the phone rings and Lovejoy answers it.
And he answers, he says, Lovejoy here.
And she puts it on speaker, right? So we hear Skinner on the line. He says, Reverend, this is Principal Skinner. I'm facing a crisis, and I don't know to whom to turn.
He's like, all right.
Mother's gone too far. She's put a cardboard over half of the television. We rented Man Without a Face? I didn't even know we had a problem. What should I do?
Oh, God. Yeah. That's a stupid problem.
Yes, very stupid problem.
And
you're a grown man. Are you going to call another man to ask him about this?
Yeah. Oh, Skinner. Mm-hmm. And Lovejoy's kind of like, well, maybe you should read your Bible.
And Skinner's like, any particular passage?
He goes, oh, it's all good. Wow, dude.
Uh-huh. She hangs up, right?
Yeah.
And Marge is not impressed by the good reverend's attempts here, right? Mm-hmm. And she lets him know. And he kind of brushes her off because, you know, you're being too idealistic. And
he proceeds to tell her that, you know, why he's like that. Yes. Right? Why he's become so cynical.
Uh-huh.
And so he tells Marge about what happened to him after he graduated from seminary school.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the 60s were long over and people were once again ready to feel bad about themselves. And I love this scene because you see Reverend Lovejoy with long hair, right, in his convertible driving to his new church assignment, jamming out to the Doobie Brothers.
Jesus is all right, just all right with me.
That's a awesome song, by the way. I don't care, you know, whether you're into Jesus or not, that's a badass song.
Yep. Jesus is just all right with me.
Yep. This is like the second Doobie Brothers reference in The Simpsons, right?
Yes.
Because the other one was, who likes Doobie Brothers? We got one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a fan there, obviously. And so we get a flashback, right? And so Reverend Lovejoy shows up to the church. And he gets into his new office. He's got a guitar with him, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his first, you know, piece of his flock, right?
Yes.
Ned Flanders from back in the day.
So Flanders walks in and says, Reverend, I'm afraid something terrible has happened.
And a very different Reverend Lovejoy. Well, sit down and rap with me, brother. That's what I'm here for. A lot of enthusiasm back then.
And Flanders sits down and is like, I was talked into doing a dance called a bump, but my hip slipped and my buttocks came into the contact with the buttocks of another young man.
And he just pauses right there and he goes, I see. And then we hear a little voiceover, right? Mm-hmm. And we see a montage, and he's like, then the calls began. And then we see a shot of the Reverend at a dinner table, right, on the phone with Flanders.
And Flanders is like, well, I think that I may be coveting my own wife.
God, Ned. Aren't you supposed to your own wife? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear him like, I'm meek, but I could probably stand to be a bit meeker.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to a shot at the Lovejoys in Paris.
With, I have to say, I don't call this kind of stuff out very often. That is one of the laziest Eiffel Towers in the background I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing the backgrounds that day,
They mailed it in.
They mailed it in. That was a rare miss for The Simpsons on that.
Mm-hmm. And Ned says, I think I may have swallowed a toothpick.
And so at the end of that, Lovejoy tells Marge, finally, I just stopped caring. Luckily, by then, it was the 80s and no one noticed. So we cut back to the present, right?
And Marge says, but you can't let a few bad experiences sour you on helping people.
Like, oh, sure you can. And as he says that, the phone rings and he tells her, you handle it. And he takes off.
Marge's like, me? But I can't. She picks up the phone. He's like, hello?
And the screen splits and we see that Mo is calling. We're like, yeah, I'm calling for Reverend Lovejoy. Who's this?
And Marge's like, oh, well, this is the listen lady.
Like, yeah, well, listen, lady. That's a great little line. It's like, I got so many problems, I don't even know where to begin here.
And Marge's like, okay, well, why don't you start from the top?
He goes, all right. Number one, I've lost the will to live.
And Marge's like, oh, that's ridiculous, Mo. You've got lots to live for.
He says, really? That's not what Reverend Lovejoy's been telling me. Wow, you're good. Thanks. And he hangs up the phone, right?
What the hell has Lovejoy been telling him?
I know,
right? Kill yourself.
I guess, right? I mean, he's always saying stuff about it. And the phone rings again, right? Mm-hmm. And it's Mo again.
Yeah, he says, hi, it's me again. I've got another problem. But this one's about my cat.
And you hear the cat in the back.
And Mo's like, yeah, shut up. I'm asking her.
That's such a great scene, man. Uh-huh. What is it with Mo and animals, man? He's always got some crazy stuff going on.
Well, at least he wasn't
keeping
a whale back there, yeah.
And so we cut to the Simpsons house at dinner. And Homer's questioning, like, what Marge is doing, right? Volunteering. He's like, do you know that so-called volunteers don't even get paid?
I guess he didn't know the definition of a volunteer.
Yes.
So Marge tells him all of the good things that she's doing by volunteering and how good she feels about herself, right? Mm-hmm. But she interrupts herself as she sees Homer staring at that mystery box.
Yeah, it stops her in her tracks. She's like, Homer, will you get that crazy box off the dinner table? It came from the dump, which is gross. Yeah.
Yes, and Homer's like, but Marge, I'm obsessed with it. Where did it come from? What is it a box of? How'd my face get on it?
And Bart says, hey, if they got a picture of you, that means they can see you. They're probably watching us right now.
And Marge says, that's ridiculous. No one is watching us right now.
And they all stare into the camera.
Yep.
Breaking the fourth wall, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. And Homer decides that, you know, he's going to find this out, right? So he goes to the Happy Sumo restaurant. And Akira is on the phone. I'm still surprised that Disney keeps this on there, man, because it's a great one.
Hey, man, how are you going to take them off just because they're Asian?
I know. Mm-hmm. But even the scene itself, yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah, because we see Akira on the phone. He's like, hi, 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 bye. And he hangs up the phone. And he turns around and he sees Lisa. He's like, hi.
That's so funny.
Yep.
And so Homer says, Akira, can you read this for me? And he gives him the box.
And Akira reads, ah, yes, this product is called Mr. Sparkle. Very popular dish detergent. Hey. And he points at the illustration like, he looks like you.
So Lisa says, oh, what's he saying, right? Like on the box.
Uh-huh. He says, well, he identifies himself as a magnet for foodstuffs. He boasts that he will banish dirt to the land of wind and ghosts.
And Lisa's just like, wow. She's all impressed.
I think this is like, you know, some expressions in Spanish don't really get translated to English.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, it's kind of like this, right? Mm-hmm. I think Japanese and English.
There's some things that just don't translate.
Yeah,
for sure.
So Akira says, yes, you have very lucky dishes, Mr. Simpson. This soap is from the sacred forest of Hokkaido, renowned for its countless soap factories.
And so Homer's like, Hokkaido, eh? Mm-hmm. So apparently he's going to do something with this.
Yes. So then we go back to the First Church of Springfield, and the Listen Lady is working.
Mm-hmm. And we got Lenny in her office, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Lenny's there, she's like, so see, all along I've been telling Carl I'm married to a beauty queen. Now he's coming over for dinner.
And Mars like, oh, Lenny, I'm sure he'll like your wife no matter what she looks like.
He goes, no, it's worse than that. I don't even have a wife. I just said I did, you know, be a big shot.
And Mars like, oh, well, it's time to start telling the truth. Now, when I have to tell my husband the truth, I cook him a big, delicious dinner. By the time he's done eating, he's too full and tired to care what I have to say.
That's manipulation, Marge.
Yes, it is.
Marge has her demons too, man. And so Lenny's like, wow, that's great. When Carl comes over, I'll stuff him till he don't know what's what. And he leaves the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the camera shows him going into the hall. And we see a line out there of people.
Yep. And Agnes is is one of those people in line with Skinner, right?
But they're behind like four or five people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And Agnes says, Seymour, I'm getting tired. Tell them we're going next.
Says, well, I'm not the principal of the line, Mother.
and you never will be.
She's terrible, man. Yeah. Agnes is a piece of work.
Yes, she is.
And so Homer decides to, you know, get some more info, and he's actually at the Springfield Library, right? And he asks the librarian, can I have the phone book for Hokkaido, Japan? And the guy gets it real quick, right? Yeah. He just pulls it out. Oh, here you go.
Yep. It's like he had it right there waiting for someone, right?
Homer asks him, can I use your phone?
And the librarian says, is this going to be a local call?
He's like, yes.
So he gives him the phone, and he walks to the side, and he's on his computer, right?
Yes. And Homer starts dialing, trying to be sneaky. He's wearing his glasses, by the way.
Yes.
We rarely see Homer in his glasses.
Uh-huh.
And he's dialing like 20 different numbers.
But he's doing it really slow, like...
And eventually, right, I guess the guy didn't notice, he actually calls the Mr. Sparkle factory, right? Mm-hmm.
So we go across the world and we see a bunch of guys inspecting detergent powder, and the phone rings, right? And the factory foreman answers. He's like, hello? And actually, it was Mushi Mushi, right?
Yes,
because it's in Japan. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Japanese.
And Homer says, yes, this is Homer Simpson from America. Who may I say is speaking to me?
And the foreman, right, still in Japanese, he tells the other guy to take the call because he speaks English and he doesn't, right? So he gives him the phone and he walks away. And the other guy goes, hello, chief. Let's talk. Why not?
And it's over. They're like, hello. Why am I Mr. Sparkle?
You like Mr. Sparkle?
Well, I am Mr. Sparkle.
Ah, you have many questions, Mr. Sparkle. I send you premium answer question 100%.
And Homer's just like, like, okay. He's intrigued, right? And so we cut the call off there. And we cut back to the Springfield Church, right?
Yes.
And Marge is getting very, very popular,
mm-hmm.
right? And to the point where she's more popular than the Reverend.
Yeah, they're going to her and not to him for their with their problems.
Yep, and to the point where the Reverend can't even finish his sermon anymore without people praising Marge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank God for the listen lady, right? All that stuff you hear from the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And so after the service is over, everybody goes past Reverend Lovejoy because, yes, there's always people that want to talk to the priest after the, you know, the mass, whatever. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes to Marge. And, you know, Marge is just like, okay, 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 like one at a time, right? And she says, like, who's got the most pressing issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Mel, Sideshow Mel. Right? And then, you remember his issue? He says, I have a reoccurring dream of which I'm falling. And everybody's like, oh! And she's like, very like, oh, Mel, right this way.
And she turns around and she tells Reverend Lovejoy, Tim, hold my calls.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So first name basis, and she's now treating him like a secretary, right? And a very, very upset, he walks back into the church, right? And he tells himself, I'm a shepherd without a flock. And he looks towards heaven. He's like, what have I done to lose them?
And then we see the stained glass, you know, windows.
Yep.
One of the saints comes to life. And apparently it's Saint Eleutherius,
mm-hmm.
right? He comes to life and he says, the real question, what have you done to keep them?
And he's like, oh my goodness, Saint Eleutherius of, what is it, Nicomedia. He's like, and Saint, the saint's like, that's my name, don't wear it out. And next to him is Saint Bartholomew, mm-hmm. right? And he says, to inspire men, you must be brave. I introduced Christianity to Mongolia. It didn't take, but it was worth a try. And we should let you know, in case you haven't seen this, he is holding his head in his stained glass window painting.
Yes, because they beheaded him in Mongolia.
Say, well, that's what you get for trying to convert the Mongols.
Mm-hmm. Then we see Saint Lucian. He says, tell us, good reverend, what great deeds have you done to inspire the hearts of men?
He says, well, I had the vestibule recarpeted.
And then we see Saint Dionysius, right? I've appeared in over 80,000 visions. I'm sorry, 8,000 visions. And that's the lamest reply I've ever heard.
And he goes, oh, now please. I thought saints were supposed to be friendly.
And St. Dionysius goes, you? You're just lucky God isn't here. And they all fade away.
That's so bad.
Yes. You're just lucky God isn't here.
God is not in your church, buddy.
Because God would really, really judge you.
That's so bad, right? Oh, my goodness. And so we cut to, I'm guessing it's that evening, and Marge gets a call, and it's actually Mrs. Lovejoy, right? And she's basically saying that something's wrong with her husband. He's just playing with his trains, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. And Marge says, well, maybe he just needs a day or two, and he'll, you know, perk right back. He'll bounce back, right? Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mrs. Lovejoy isn't quite convinced, but she thanks Marge all the same. And the Cummer Cats cuts to Lovejoy, who's sitting down in his basement playing with his trains. And he says, attention, host scale passengers. The dining car is closed. Root beer still available, but the cost is now $6.50. If the passengers will look to their right, you will see a sad, sad man. That is all.
Yeah, he's really taking this hard, man. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we cut to Homer, Bart, and Lisa popping in the video, right, that they have got.
Yeah, because they got a package.
They got a package, right? Uh-huh. And it's a video. It's the Mr. Sparkle video, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they you know, the video sequence starts, right? Homer, Bart watching TV. Lisa runs in the room. They do all that, right? Mm-hmm. And so Lisa tells them that it's from Japan, right? And Homer opens it, right? Does his ooh. Uh-huh. And all the styrofoam
peanuts come out.
Fall out, right?
And then he does this really dumb thing. He puts it over his head and he tips the box over.
Yeah, and it hits him in the face, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And so they put in the videotape, right? Uh-huh. And you see a bunch of a heavy-set man lounging in a sunken bathtub, right? Mm-hmm. And he puts down a cigar long enough and he addresses the camera, right? And he says, oh, hello, American investor. I see you're interested in distributing Mr. Sparkle in your home prefecture. You have chosen wisely. But please, don't believe me. Observe this commercial. And the Japanese commercial starts.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like semi-futuristic, kind of like the Jetsons vibe, right? Mm-hmm. And they're loading stuff into the dishwasher. The lady pulls out a whistle and she summons Mr. Sparkle. Mm-hmm. His head jumps out of the Mr. Sparkle box and floats in midair, and he begins to make everything brighter, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is, again, translated from the Japanese, right?
Yes.
So it's not going to exactly roll off your tongue.
And if you don't know, the Japanese are very famous for having very eccentric commercials. Mm-hmm. They've got some cool ones, to be honest with you.
Yes. So here we see the Mr. Sparkle go, I am disrespectful to dirt. Can you see that I am serious? Right? And then with no arms, no legs, he scrubs the dishes clean by rubbing his head up and down on the dishes, right? Yep. And then the housewife is ecstatic about her clean dinnerware.
Yep. And so he flies into the next room. Mm-hmm. There's a baby playing with a little xylophone, right? So he bounces on the keys and the child laughs, right? And then he flies off, okay, while cleaning everything.
Uh-huh. Next thing you know, he's deep under the ocean. And apparently there's the three Japanese girls dancing under the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they can talk perfectly well, right? Anyway, so Mr. Sparkle says, out of my way, all of you. This is no place for loafers. Join me or die. Can you do any less?
Yeah, that's the translation, right?
Yes.
And then the woman says, you know, translator's like, what a brave corporate logo. I accept the challenge of Mr. Sparkle.
And then the other woman goes, awesome power.
Yeah, they actually do that part in English, right?
Uh-huh.
And then so we see the box appear on the left corner of the screen, and it's got a little, one of those wind-up monkeys hitting the drum and all that. Uh-huh. And Mr. Sparkle now demonstrates his awesome power. He blows a strong wind with all these little hearts, and it, for some reason, it transforms all the pretty dancing women into sumo wrestlers.
I guess to show that that Mr. Sparkle is powerful.
Yeah, and they're all like giggling still and everything.
Yeah, they sound like girls, but they look like gross men.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So next thing you know, Mr. Sparkle flies over a cow pasture, and we see a reporter interviewing a two-headed cow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reporter's asking, like, what are your plans for summer vacation?
So Mr. Sparkle floats over the cow, and the cow is so surprised, she shatters into pieces. We only see the four eyes up in the air a little bit before they blink and fall.
Yeah, you got to see this commercial if you've never seen this before.
Yeah, like, it's a trip.
It is a trip. And though, so we cut the screen. All these Japanese slogans are spiral into a little vanishing point at the center. And Mr. Sparkle appears at the center, right? Heads towards the camera, rotating. And then you hear the announcer. For lucky best wash, use Mr. Sparkle.
So Mr. Sparkle blinks. And we see Homer, Bart, and Lisa, who don't know what the hell's going on because it's a very confusing commercial. Mm-hmm. Bart says, boring.
And Homer's upset. He's like, that didn't explain anything at all. All I know is that they stole my face and used it for their stupid logo. There's no other explanation.
And Lisa's like, wait, look.
And of course, we cut to the screen and we see here the announcer in English say, Mr. Sparkle, a joint venture of Matsumura Fishworks. And we see the fish, right?
Yeah, with the eyes and the mouth and the smile.
Yep. Uh-huh. And Tamaribuchi. There you go. Tamaribuchi. Heavy manufacturing concern. And it's a light bulb, right? And it's got like the little top is like Homer's hair and all uh-huh. that stuff. And so the two logos merge together in the middle. And that is what creates the Mr. Sparkle logo.
Which looks freakishly like Homer, right? Mm-hmm. And Lisa's like, hey, it was all a coincidence.
And Bart says, yep, there's your answer, fishbulb. That's a great line too. Uh-huh.
And Homer's like, well, it was a good ride while it lasted. Come on, kids. Let's go home.
Bart says, we are home.
That was fast. You can tell Homer is totally confused there.
Yeah. And so we go back to the church, right? And Marge is talking to Captain McAllister. And he basically says, she tells him, he's sad. He looks sad. He's like, your Game Boy is lost, right? To the sea. I guess yes. He lost it at sea. Mm-hmm. He's very upset.
And as soon as he leaves, she gets a call from Ned Flanders.
Mm-hmm. And he tells her that Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney have been hanging around the Leftorium, right? Of course, Ned's store. And that he's afraid that they could start slacking at any moment.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So Marge tells Ned that she should just go tell the boys to go away.
Actually, she tells him he should tell them to vamoose.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And so Ned does so. He kind of tells him, like, you know, do you think you all could, you know, just kind of, you know, vamoose? And I love that. Who is it? Is it? I forgot who it is.
It's Kearney. No, not Kearney. It's Dolph.
Dolph, right? Dolph's like, has a drink and he just drops it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
Did you just do that?
Yeah.
And it backfires, right? So instead of leaving, Ned calls back, right? And he tells Marge that things are gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. He's now the boys have Ned kind of like on top of a chair.
Uh-huh.
And he's very, very scared. It kind of looks like they're riding their mini bikes and they're riding it all around him.
Yes, and that's where Marge tells him that, no, you need to lay down the law, you know, that those kids crave structure and discipline and all that.
Wait, was it just me or did that when they were circling Ned like that, was that something out of Mad Max?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's where he whines like, but they're on their mini bikes. That's such a funny scene, man.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's not working, right? So they cut the phone line with a pair of scissors, right?
And Marge thinks that Ned has hung up. She kind of like hangs up and she just waits for her next call. Mm-hmm. Unaware that she has hung Ned out to dry.
Yep. So we cut to the next morning and we hear the doorbell ring and it's Maude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Marge is like, hi, Maude. You know, what's going on? And she says, oh, Marge, did your husband come home last night?
Because mine didn't.
Yeah. Marge's like, well, of course he did. Well, mine didn't. Mm-hmm. And we find out what happens, right?
Yeah, because we see Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney still chasing down poor Ned on their mini bikes.
Yeah, Ned's just exhausted walking down the road, and they're just behind him laughing on their mini bikes. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty sad little sight.
Yeah, Ned is being pushed around by kids here.
Yep. So Marge realizes what she's done. She's given some really bad advice, right? Mm-hmm. And so she finds Reverend Lovejoy, right? He walks in the room. He's like, yes, Marge?
And Marge's like, Reverend, I gave Flanders some bad advice. Now he could be in real trouble.
He says, oh, what happened now? Did he swallow a paperclip?
No, he disappeared. Oh, I'm on my way. I'm in way over my head. I mean, where do the helpers turn when they need help?
And he looks out the basement window, and as if on cue, a bright light goes through the glass, and an organ can be heard, right? And so the camera pulls back to reveal that Marge has accidentally sat on the keyboard.
Yep. And Marge's like, eh? Oh, sorry. She stands up.
But now that he's got his confidence back, because he's needed, right? You can tell.
Yep.
The phone rings again. He answers it, and it's Ned. And he's calling from a gas station because they have stopped to refuel their mini bikes, right?
So Marge asks him where he is, but Ned, he doesn't know, but he can only read the price of the gas station. And the price is $1.49.08.
You remember when they used to have that 9 tenths on the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So annoying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, 149?
Those were the days.
Dude, I remember being a kid. I couldn't drive yet, but I remember being gas being under a dollar.
I remember my cousin's boyfriend would take us out for a ride. He'd walk up to the counter, put 50 cents on the thing, and go put 50 cents worth of gas, and yep. drive around like that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Even in high school, it was, you got $5 for gas?
Mm-hmm. Now, $5 won't get you very far.
No. Wow. Mm. How times have changed, right?
Yep.
And so Marge recognizes the price here, right? She's like, oh, he's at Donnie's Discount Gas.
Because it's 1/10 cheaper.
It's 1/10 cheaper.
So Lovejoy, Marge, and Homer with the kids all gather to go get Flanders. And they happen to be driving in Lovejoy's really, really small car.
And Homer even thanks him. Like, thanks for picking up the family, right? Because everybody's in the car. And so they get to the gas station, and Marge's like, Donnie!
And Donnie's like, what?
He said, did you see a man being chased by some young hooligans?
I see lots of stuff.
Did you see that?
Yes. And then he points to the zoo that's across the street.
Yep. And at the zoo, we see Jimbo and the boys. They break off their pursuit, right? They've lost them. That's what Jimbo says. Like, it looks like we lost them.
And Dolph says, yeah. Well, we proved our point. He'll think twice next time he tries to defend his business.
And Curdy at this point yawns and says, I'm sleepy. Let's go to school.
Because that's why you go to school, to get some sleep, right?
Yep.
So Flanders says, they're leaving. The ordeal is over.
Yeah.
And just then, a baboon jumps into the bushes where Ned happens to be.
And he screams, right? Like, uh-huh. And so we cut to Lovejoy and the Simpsons looking out for Ned. They're calling out for him. I love this part.
We see this Japanese tourist see Homer and immediately recognizes him. And Mr. Sparkle goes, Mr. Sparkle!
Yeah, he's like, oh, Mr. Sparkle! He's super excited, right? Uh-huh. And it's 'cause his wife's there with him too, right?
Yeah. So Homer kind of like takes the time. He bows. He says, konnichiwa.
And then at that moment, we hear Ned scream again. And the family finds out where he is from Baboon County, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's in the bamboo pit. They rush up to the rail. And there's Ned surrounded by a troop of angry baboons.
And Flanders is like, help! What do I do?
And Lisa says, play dead.
Homer says, no, run around in circles.
Bart says, no, act like a lion.
Marge says, swipe at the dominant male. Come on, Ned, knock that monkey down. I wouldn't recommend you try that, kids.
No, that thing will kick your ass.
That'll rip your face off and eat it in front of you.
Yeah. And so the zookeeper comes by and he's like, oh my goodness, there's a man in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Mark says, you got to get him out of there.
And the zookeeper says, geez, I'd like to, But if they don't kill the intruder, it's really bad for their society.
Marcus, they're going to kill him?
Eventually. First, they'll eat his skin.
Very true. Uh-huh. Yes, don't mess with monkeys and apes.
No.
Like, chimps will...
Oof. You think they're smaller than you? Yeah, they're smaller than you, but...
so much stronger than yes. you. Yes. It's not even close.
No. You're like a baby compared to them.
Yeah, it's not even close. And, I mean, I hate to gross people out here, but... if you're a guy, they go straight for your genitals.
Mm-hmm. They know the weak point, guys. Yep, they know the weak point.
Goodness. And yeah, they'll like, you know, eat your eyes out of your head, basically. That's crazy, man. Anyway, so Flanders is trapped, right? On a tire swing set there. Mm. And one of the animals tries to get the rope with a rock, right? Mm-hmm. And so Flanders is yelling like, I want a fancy funeral, Telmon, with a big coffin and lots of jewels. Wow.
Yep. So the baboons are getting closer, and then we hear a train whistle sound. Mm-hmm. And the camera pans over, and we see Reverend Lovejoy, who I guess is a good thing he's got this toy train obsession.
Yep.
Because he is riding a train to rescue Ned.
Yeah, the little kitty train, right? Uh-huh. And so he reaches down and he grabs Ned, right? Just as the tire drops into the baboon crowd, and he hauls him onto the train. But the two baboons jump onto the train, right?
Uh-huh. And Lovejoy says, say your prayers, you heathen baboon.
And so he grabs a tree branch and he swings around like a gymnast, right? And he kicks both of them off of the train and back into their little yard.
Yep. But a third baboon has already jumped onto the train.
Mm-hmm. But he unhooks the one of the cars, right? And they ride away, and the train stays with the baboon in the back, right?
And Bart's like, wow!
And of course Lisa's there, oh, those poor monkeys.
And Marge, I'm surprised by Marge. They started it!
Yep. And so Ned is now, you know, expressing his gratitude. He's like, you saved me, Reverend. You really went above and beyond. Thank you.
And Reverend Lowe says, oh, don't thank me. Thank Marge Simpson. She taught me that there's more to being a minister than not caring about people.
And to which Flanders says, amen.
So they talk as the train goes back to Baboon County, and we hear the baboons going crazy because they know who's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they, you know, they take off. They get out of there, right? Because we cut to the Sunday church sermon, right? Mm-hmm. And Lovejoy has actually a entertaining sermon now.
Yep.
Because he's telling the story. Baboons to the left of me. Baboons to the right. The speeding locomotive tore through a sea of inhuman fangs. A pair of the great apes rose up at me, but bam, bam, I sent them flying like two hairy footballs. A third came screaming at me. And that's when I got mad.
And Homer says, now that's religion.
And we cut the episode there and fade to black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
That is...
that's a doozy.
One great episode.
It really is.
I mean, the main story was great, but the side quest was amazing.
It's really like you're getting two episodes in one on this. Two great episodes in one.
Mr. Spackle!
I love the tourist. It's Mr. Spackle!
By the way, that's my favorite shirt.
Oh, your Mr. Sparkle shirt? Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. Dude, you should just do that for Halloween one day.
Mr. Sparkle?
Yeah, just be Mr. Sparkle.
I'll try. I'll see if I can get... well, my granddaughter has anime eyes, so that one. I'll bring her with me. So, do I even have to ask?
No. It's a 5 donut all day, twice on Sunday. Yeah. It's one of the greats, guys.
Yes. And it's a great lead into the greatest episode ever.
Yes, that will be next week.
Yes, but this by itself is, oh my God, it is definitely in my top 5.
It's up there. Yeah, it's really up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, all time, it's way up there. They syndicated this one a lot, too. This is one, yeah, a lot. And you know, yeah, now that I think about it, they really syndicated season 8 a lot. lot.
I could see a lot of replays of these episodes.
Yeah.
After, you know, got back from wherever the hell you were. Mm-hmm. And it was the middle of the afternoon. Turn on channel 23 and watch The Simpsons.
That's fun TV, bro.
Yeah.
But I love that the backstory of the Reverend Ned was always a square.
Mm-hmm. You know what really, really gets me, man? These kids do not know the joy of waiting for a specific time and day to go see your favorite show.
Yeah, and having to catch it at that time.
Because if you didn't, you didn't know when you'd ever see it.
Nope.
Now everybody says, I'll just watch it later. Yeah. I'll stream it.
Yeah, you would have to stay up late, too. Like, you know, luckily, they would re-air it again, like, at 11 or 12 at night.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you missed it, that was...
Yeah, because then you'd go to school, and you'd be talking about it with your friends. Maybe. Nowadays, the kids are, hey, have you seen this? No, it's not. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my to-watch list, but I'm going to watch something else first. And it's like, oh, they don't get it. They're not going to experience that.
Oh, well. We got to, man. We got to. So at least there's that.
Of course, if you did miss that episode, you felt like a jackass. Especially when your buddies were talking about how cool it was.
Yeah. You didn't know what Mr. Sparkle was. Nothing.
Yep. I mean, I guess there were good things and bad things about growing up when we did.
Yeah. Ah, well. But yes, classic episode, man.
Yes.
It is one of my favorite episodes ever.
Mm-hmm.
I love just Moe's problems. Hilarious. Like, all of that's just great.
Oh, Moe, you got plenty to live for. Really?
Wow. And the cat. That part's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm asking her. I'm asking her. Oh, my God. Anything else you'd like to mention about this particular episode?
Nope. Just, again, one of the greats. But like the Simpsons guy alluded to, we are getting to what we both agree on is the greatest Simpson episode of all time next week.
Yes. We had said it was going to be a drunk cast.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to do that.
Yes.
So that might have to be on a Friday or a Saturday.
Yeah. Where... I don't have to worry about waking up for work the next day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, man, that'll make that episode even better.
I can't wait.
Don't forget to follow us on our official show Instagram. That's official_Homers_donuts. And until next week, our war suckers. Nice.